Blessed be God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Gracious Father, whose blessed Son Jesus Christ came down from heaven to be the true bread which gives life to the world, evermore give us this bread, that he may live in us and we in him, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
A reading from the first book of Samuel. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall appoint for me the one whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I shall not be fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup is running over. Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. Once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back, able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I've told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and are you trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I might believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sinned. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let me have a Kleenex. It's not often that you see the preacher wipe his nose. You and I have just sung one of everybody's favorite hymns. At least it's one of my favorites. "I want to walk as a child of the light." With that refrain, "In him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day are both alike. The Lamb is the light of the city of God. Shine in my heart, Lord Jesus. Shine in my heart, Lord Jesus." In today's gospel story, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." And he then heals a man who had been blind from birth. The people of this village knew this man. They had seen him begging on the street corner all of his life. They knew his parents. And now, all of a sudden, this man can see. And the neighbors began arguing. Now, isn't that interesting? The man comes back from the pool of Siloam, able to see for the first time in his life. And he is rejoicing. Everyone else is arguing. The neighbors aren't sure about what has happened, but they did know that Jesus had broken the law because the healing had taken place on the Sabbath. So they go to the Pharisees. They're the authority, and they can straighten this out. And what do the Pharisees do? They launch an official investigation. Sort of sounds like Congress, doesn't it? But that's what the Pharisees do. And part of that investigation is interviewing people. They want to know what the witnesses had seen. And in the course of their investigation, the Pharisees make some rather strange accusations. They say, "Well, maybe this man has been pretending to be blind all these years." Isn't that amazing? He's just been pretending. And they badger his parents until they are speechless. The Pharisees cross-examine anybody and everybody who had been near the event. But throughout it all, the healed man simply says, "Once I was blind, now I see." And when they ask him about Jesus, he told them about the mud and washing in the pool. And he tells the authorities that he believes this man, Jesus, is a prophet. And as the questions get more and more intense, he turns the tables on the Pharisees and scornfully asks if they want to become Jesus' disciples. And that infuriates them. And so they expel him from the synagogue. He is cut off from the community of faith. And it's only then, when Jesus learns that the man had been thrown out of the synagogue, that he comes to find him. It does only then the subject of the man's faith gets raised. Jesus asks him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir? Tell me so that I might believe in him." Jesus said, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." And the man said, "Lord, I believe." Now, let me ask you, isn't this a different way of looking at faith? Now, if you ask almost anyone what would be required to be healed of blindness, the answer would be faith. And if you pressed for a fuller explanation, you'd probably be told that by faith, they mean an element of belief in the healer's power that is so great that a miracle is possible. And most people, I think, would say that faith must be present before the healing takes place. So what does it mean then that in this story, the subject of faith is never raised at the time of the healing? Here the question of faith is raised only after the healing, after the discussion and the arguments, almost after the incident is closed. Well, this is what I gather from this. This is what I think it means. The power of the love of God does not depend on our faith for it to happen. The power of the love of God does not depend on our faith for it to happen. This is really important as we try to show the love of God to other people and expect it to make a difference in their lives. God's power is not limited to those who believe in him. In this story, after the healing, the man came to understand who had healed him, and then he came to belief. That says to me that as long as we do something for someone else, Christ's name doesn't have to be acknowledged or known by the person on the receiving end. What's important is that our motive is because we believe that this is what Christ would have us do. That's what's important. This story is one in which we see that the faith of the person who acts out of love is more crucial than the faith of the person who is the object of that love. The faith that is crucial in this story is Jesus' faith. Jesus has faith that he is God's son and that he can change this situation for good. It was this faith that was shown forth on Good Friday. It was this faith that enabled Jesus to trust God to bring victory over the evil of the cross, to bring life out of death. And his faith created faith in others. What the disciples did not understand at the time, they later understood and believed that life and death had been radically changed despite all of the fear and the confusion and the lack of faith on their part. Have you faith in the Son of Man? That was the question Jesus was asked of the man who had been blind. And the answer was to be found in the discovery of what the Lord could do. This faith understands that God is to be found in the center of all life, and that God is many times unseen and unknown until his presence is realized. And that realization happens after we reflect on what has happened and what God has done in our lives. When Jesus healed the blind man, the faith of the Son of Man caused there to be faith in the Son of Man. Faith which is acted in love is answered by faith in those who have been loved. As St. John says in one of his letters, we love because he first loved us. So, faith is described in this chapter of John's Gospel not as trying to believe in impossible propositions, but in the sudden awareness that the impossible has already happened. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. The light has come into the world. I want to walk as a child of the light. Shine in our hearts, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Please stand. Let us profess our faith by saying the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God,
the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
In peace. Let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. For the Holy Church of God, that it may be filled with truth and love and be found without fault at the day of your coming, we pray to you, O Lord. Lord, have mercy. For Michael, our presiding bishop, for George, our own bishop, for all bishops and other ministers, and for all the holy people of God, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who fear God and believe in you, Lord Christ, that our divisions may cease and that all may be as one, be one as you and the Father are one, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the mission of the church, that in faithful witness it may preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the world, that a spirit of respect and forbearance may grow among nations and peoples, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in positions of public trust, especially Donald, our president, Bill and Nathan, our governors, that they may serve justice and promote the dignity and freedom of every person, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the poor, the persecuted, the sick, and all who suffer, for refugees, prisoners, and all who are in danger, that they may be relieved and protected, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this congregation and those who are present, for those who are absent, that we may be delivered from hardness of heart and show forth your glory in all that we do, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those on our prayer list, Margaret, Jean, Steve, Nicole, J.R., Blair, John and Joan, Paul, Marie, Chuck, Jimmy, Martha, Renee, Russell, Jaden, Ryan, Teddy, Richard, Karen, Regina, Irene, Larry, June, Michael, Joe, Margaret, Laura, Baylor, Shay, Ed, Doug, Cecilia, Ed, Alberta, Tom, Jim, Chad, Angela, Judy, Tony, Gordon, Steve, Jane, Mary, Ron and family, Charles, Rusty, Harry, Deb, Corey, and for all who have commended themselves to our prayers, for our families, friends, and neighbors, that being freed from anxiety, they may live in joy, peace, and health, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have died in the communion of your church, and those whose faith is known to you alone, that with all the saints, they may have rest in that place where there is no pain or grief, but life eternal, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Are there other intercessions? We pray for the members of our armed forces. We give thanks for those celebrating a birthday this week, especially Pam Dalton. Rejoicing in the fellowship of all the saints, let us commend ourselves and one another and all our life to Christ our God. To you, O Lord, our God.
For yours is the majesty, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have not done. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we only repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. A few announcements today. First, I'd like to remind you that Easter lilies are on deck. It is time to purchase your Easter lilies, and I don't see the head of the... There she is. There's Hilda. They are $8 this year. Inflation has hit. Please sign up in the Flower Room Guild door and plan to buy several. We need them. All right. Diocesan news. New publication from the diocese is available in the Narthex. Some of you have been asking about what's happening with the bishop's search. This gives the most recent update, and I think that they are due to announce the candidates next week. So we'll know more about it next Sunday. But if you'd like to pick up this, I encourage you to do so. And then finally, but certainly not least, we're going to be hearing during the offertory from this fine group of our musicians. And we don't get a chance to see the choir that often. So at least we get to see five members of the choir. And we want to say thank you for the ministry of music that you provide us. Thank you. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You bid your faithful people cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that fervent in prayer and in works of mercy, and renewed by your word and sacraments, they may come to the fullness of grace which you have prepared for those who love you. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you, in your mercy, sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power of the Lord, forever and ever.
Lamb of God, that
take that back. Gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died and rose for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Amen. May God grant you the grace never to sell yourself short. Grace to risk something big for something good. Grace to remember that the world is now too dangerous for anything but truth and too small for anything but love. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be among you, inspire you, and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.
Thanks be to God.